Yada, folks, and welcome to the show. We're here at Tantrum House.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today, we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Carmen Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Intern Dan.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
Kevin's got his cowboy hat on today, apparently. I don't know what.
I thought it was like a redneck hillbilly.
You guys can think whatever you want.
Like a straw hat.
Yep. A prospector from the old west.
I got my straw hair, my teeth, I'm ready to go.
Please tell me you're not going to talk like that the whole episode, or we'll have to kick you out of the house.
Yeah. Right. No longer a house.
In the dog house.
Most interesting episode ever.
We have a dog. It's beyond cold.
Is that inspired by any board games you played recently, or is
I don't
this
know. I just wanted
love,
to get
just...
people excited about listening to Tantrum House today?
Well, I'm excited that my alarm's going off. I don't even know what that was.
I'm excited about our Tantrum House Kickstarter that finally finished.
I'm excited about Sarah fulfilling all those backer rewards.
Seven.
You say that like she's already done it. Let's be clear. No, that hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened yet.
I thought it was Sarah and Will and Ryan and Katie doing this.
My dining room has already been taken over, though. I don't even know. We should go count right now. How many games? Guess how many games are in the dining room?
A lot.
Not as many as on your board game shelf, but it's getting close.
Yep. It is. So what stuff did you guys play tonight? I know Sarah and I went and played some Watch Our Kids Play Soccer.
Yeah.
And I saw a really big, cool-looking game on the table. What was that?
Shiver Me Timbers.
Yeah, Shiver Me Timbers. It's a prototype we were looking at, so we can't say too much about it. But it's a pirate seafaring adventure type game.
Yep. It's component heavy, so there were a lot of neat components.
Yeah, very cool-looking components.
Yeah, the ships are 3D printed, and you actually... Like, as you upgrade your ships, you don't just mark it down on your board. You actually upgrade the physical ship.
Yeah.
So it gets bigger and bigger as you play the game.
Mm-hmm. My timbers were shivered.
Ryan actually won.
Yeah.
By a lot.
I didn't realize I was winning, though. It was one of those games.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, like, set
in
the
same... Did anyone else realize Ryan was winning?
No, because Ryan set in the same spot for, like... I don't know,
yeah,
seven or eight turns.
Stayed
not
at my starting island.
Seemed like he wasn't doing anything.
It is. It's one of those games.
Collecting points.
It's a game where you have several goals out on the table that you know all of you could be going for, trying to get to, but you don't necessarily know what someone's trying to do. So he sat there doing something. I didn't really get what his strategy was. Maybe he didn't.
I didn't.
But it worked. It worked.
But we're gonna be talking about this in a couple weeks,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. We'll wait.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil too much for our listeners. We played a game of Noctiluca from Z-Man Games, and it is a dice, not drafting, but a dice picking game.
Yeah, you seed the board with different colored dice, and it's random, and you place a pawn, and you can take the dice in a certain row that all have the same pip value, but you're trying to collect dice that match the
colors
on your card. So kind of like Potion Explosion, where you're trying to get the marbles fill it. But so say I'm looking, I want to take all the fours in this row. I get a green four, a purple four, and two orange fours. So then I can use those to fill my jars. So, but if I don't have any spots for orange, then I have to... pass that die to the next player.
Yep.
So if I can't use what I took, anything I can't use gets passed around until someone can use
it. So you're trying to get lots of dice, but dice of the right color.
And it seemed like there were a lot of dice in the
game. Yeah, so there's, I know there's like 15 different, like, tiles that have dice, and every tile has, like, four or five dice on them. So you could be getting four or five dice on a turn because you're taking all the force from a whole row of tiles. So, like Melissa said. So. Yeah, and the colors are cool. I don't know if you saw the translucent colors.
No, I think I missed it. That sounds cool. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's got this big glowing sort of feel to it. Cool. This purples and oranges and greens, and the dice are pretty cool
and
looking.
Blue. There's also blue.
There's blue dice. Okay,
then it sounds like a winner. We played Builder this week.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun with our kids. It's a, like...
charades with pieces that you have to get the other people to guess what the word or phrase is.
You're building pieces?
It's like a bunch of abstract wooden shapes. So you have like meeples and squares and triangles and rods and flame shapes and crown shapes.
It looks interesting.
It was surprisingly fun. We played it with our kids and they, like, at first they're like, "Eh, we don't want to play." And we were like, "Come try it. I think you'll enjoy it." And like, poof, 2 hours later, I'm like, "It's 10 p.m. What are we doing?"
You guys are supposed to be in bed.
So it was a very cool, like, immersive, pulled you in. Everybody got excited. I think Ryan played another round with us.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I feel like there needs to be more curved pieces because it's really hard to make a snake with a long block.
Yeah, you'll have to watch the playthrough video to get the behind the scenes of that one.
Melissa, I'll go for it.
Oh, this week I also got a chance to play Getaway Driver. It just was released to its backers. It was a Kickstarter. Uproarious Games.
Yeah.
So it's got kind of a Jason Bourne-y type feel where one person's the getaway driver.
Jason Bourne-y?
Yeah, Bourne-y.
I thought you just was like
Jason Bourne-ish. But yeah, all the art feels like you're over in, I don't know, Italy or something with the Pulitzer Eye going after you. So one person is the getaway driver, the other person has the cop cars, and, you know, certain tiles are played, and it was interesting. Different strategies, for sure, but that was a fun game to check out.
I think Jason Bourne
posted about that one.
One of my favorite series. Now that's not a trilogy anymore, but...
Yeah.
That's a cool one, for sure. Yeah.
We played something this week that was fun, and I'm going to mess up the name, so I'm going to let Kevin say it.
Oh, no, she's like, "Look at me." It
sounded like she was trying to be really secretive about it.
I was trying to do like a segue, like Ryan's are so awesome, and I was going to say something about movies because it's kind of based on movies and books. But anyway.
The Lord of the Rings has a new game called Journeys in Middle Earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it is from Fantasy Flight Games, and it is a campaign game. And it is similar in mechanics to their Mansions of Madness second edition that they came out with a few years ago, because it is not only a campaign, but it also has an app. It's app driven, so you can actually, in the scenario, follow it. It basically creates the scenario in the app. So you're picking characters and classes and things like that, and then going on an adventure. And the other cool thing is it is similar in some of the mechanics, not only with the app, but also in the gameplay. But in Mansions of Madness, where you're using like dice rolls, it's more card-driven in the Journeys of Middle-Earth. So
yeah, and Mansions of Madness, it's not campaign style where things carry over. But this one is, and even the path that your story takes will be determined by how you do, and you can upgrade items and get new things into your deck.
Yeah, I heard someone say there's 12 different scenarios in this one. We played the first one and really, really enjoyed it. So I am playing Bilbo the Burglar.
Nice.
And that's his, like, class, the Burglar. And Melissa is...
Did you make your own character?
Sort of. They have they basically, you have your character that you can, the character
there's
sheet.
There's like six choices.
Okay, and
so
then,
you didn't like name him or anything?
No, but but we did name something. I'll tell you that in a second.
Okay. They just made up Bilbo, though.
Yeah, I made up the word Bilbo.
I just thought, I don't know, Kevin.
And then they
sounds like a classic name.
I know.
Stop it. I'm just wondering, like, are you getting to create and name the character and you just chose
really.
One of the characters?
And then they have like seven or eight different classes, like Captain Burglar, I forget all
musician,
the other.
Musician,
yeah.
Pathfinder.
And you basically pick one. You can pick anyone. They do have recommendations that go to the different characters, which makes sense because Bilbo in the storylines was a burglar.
Yeah, and there are different decks of cards that go with the role, the class, and then the person. So you're combining those
decks of cards
to make a deck.
Have you guys ever played The Lord of the Rings, the card game?
The LCG?
No, I don't think it is. The box looks very similar. When I kept seeing everybody posting about this new game, thinking, are they just discovering this old one? It's like, I don't know, 2010, 2011 or something.
Okay.
A friend of mine had me learn it for him.
Yeah. And I think it actually is the old card game from Fantasy Flight that they're reusing the art, but it's a totally different game.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting.
But it's not an LCG, so...
No. This is definitely a... box board game that's got its own thing.
It anyway, has miniatures and map tiles.
Going back to naming things, we had to name our party because our adventuring party had to be named. So we're like, what should we name it? Well, we play every Saturday night. And we're like, well, what if we called it the Fellowship of the Seventh Day? So
almost as good as Tantrum House, but that's what I was waiting for. The Tantrum team.
Anyway, so yeah, we enjoyed that and looking forward to more adventures in Journeys in Middle-earth.
Cool stuff. All right, well, why don't we jump from here into a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by TerranCon Board Games. Their game Safari Turbo is coming to Kickstarter April 29th, and Dan has actually played it.
Yes, it's a 2-5 player game. It takes about an hour plus. It's a race around this mystical island. You're using a roll to move type mechanic. You have special player powers as you race around this island. Depending on where you land, animals might attack you. You might get hit by an anaconda or a spider or something like that. And you can play different abilities on each other. So it's just this race through hoping you survive all the way to the end.
The board for it is pretty massive, isn't it? I think I saw the prototype for it. Or we maybe played a round or two, I think.
Yeah, we did.
And it is huge.
Are you in cars?
You are in cars, yes.
Vehicles?
Yeah,
in
a vehicle.
And it's you? Like, there's real people? It's not like the... It's...
You're playing as some character in the game. Yeah,
one of the characters, each racer has a specific ability.
Okay,
that
cool.
They
so it's a little asymmetric
in
that
one. They're not just like special player powers. They're like superheroes kind of.
Right? Yeah, like one player can call in like thunderstorms. Had that one.
Did I? remember?
Which dropped a thunderstorm on the board and it made it hard.
Oh, yeah,
to move.
I do remember that. Yep.
You know, maybe you have teleporting abilities where you can make somebody move back tangle them up in tree roots, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and if I remember right, the board covers like all kinds of terrain. So there's like a jungle and a desert area.
Right.
And was there like a volcano? Yeah.
Ice ramp, yeah. Yep. Oh, the cool island stuff. Has a lot of components to it.
So it was great having Matt Ryan from Bezier Games here last week.
In person.
In person. And we actually got to do an interview with him that we will jump into now. So let's go ahead and welcome Matt Ryan to the house.
Hey! Hi, guys.
Welcome back, because this is a totally different episode happening at a different date.
Yeah. Yeah, the more times, the merrier.
Yeah, man. So we played some really fun games tonight, and we definitely have to talk about them. Let's talk about Silver Bullet.
And Amulet.
And Amulet. It's just Silver. The Silver
the
series.
First the one second and the second one. I'll start with the second one. I read the Silver Bullet because it's on top.
Oh,
that's what happened. So... Give us the 10-second rundown, and then we'll talk about our experience.
Absolutely. So in Silver, you're going to have face-down cards in front of you, and you're going to be spending the game exchanging them and turning them in, trying to get the lowest amount in front of you. When you feel like they have the lowest amount, you call, and if you're right, you get 0 points. If you're wrong, you have to take some deficit points. But it's a lot of fun. It's got a really, really cool art, a lot of good mechanics to it, and I think that I enjoyed it tonight. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
Definitely did. Had a really good time. Ben and Sabrina just put out a review of Cabo. How do we say that?
Cabo.
Which is a very similar mechanic, and I think you guys obviously know that. And this kind of builds on that. Tell us a little bit about the building that's going to happen with Amulet and Bullet and etc.
So, Cabo would be like the absolute basic. Just a couple of cards that let you do things. Other than that, you're just trying to get a low number. But there's only a couple powers in that game. What we've done with Silver is every single card from 0 to 13, which is the number ranges, all of them have a unique power. And so, depending on what that card's power is, you're trying to arrange it in your village or discard it so you can use the power to take things from other people. So it has a lot of good mechanics in it, and then it's actually going to continue to grow, and you guys got to have a glimpse at Bullet as well, which is going to be the second deck that's released. And so as it grows, you're going to be able to exchange those different numerics and mechanisms in and out and kind of build a custom game with your favorite things. Kind of the same way you do with One Knight, where you can take your favorite roles and build that game that you really enjoy. The same thing with these cards.
So we kind of tonight had a first ever silver tournament. First in history, right?
Yeah, the first ever silver tournament ever happened in Tantrum House.
We played a 3v3 round of... Who was in the first round?
It was Ryan and intern Dan and Sarah, I. And intern Dan played... We played four rounds. Intern Dan won the first two rounds.
Crushed you
very
guys.
Very quickly. Mm-hmm. And Ryan and I almost lost hope.
I thought you were supposed to gain points.
Ryan is going the wrong way.
And then Ryan and I caught up a little bit on that third round. And then the fourth round, I was able to stick Dan with a bunch of points and able to just squeak past.
Brutal!
And win the four rounds.
Very cool. And then Melissa, Katie, and I played a second hand, or a second round entirely, just the three of us. I felt really good the first round. It kind of fell apart after that. I think Katie crushed us in that. Did you get zero on the last two?
Last...
Three?
Three, I think. No, just the last two. Middle two. Middle two.
Yeah. In the first round, I was definitely going to win it. I called silver, which means that the other two players still got a chance to play.
Final turn.
And then we would reveal our points. And Will, on his turn, got a card that let him swap one with me. And so he stuck me with a lot more points than I was expecting. And so when we counted...
And I got a lot lower points than I was expecting.
He had one fewer point than I did, which means I had to count all my points and add 10 to them. Ooh. So I had 20 points in that first round.
Yeah.
Although that last game, sad. I thought... Will has seen how many cards he could collect.
Oh,
I think
it was painful.
Yeah, he's seen how many he could keep in front of him. He had, what, six at one point?
It was a lot. Yeah. The funny thing is there were, like, ones and zeros. And in the game, if you have a set of doubles, you can turn the... If you have doubles, which you don't know because you're not looking at them...
Oh, yeah, the cards are face down, so you have to remember which cards are which.
And if they match, you can turn them in and get rid of them entirely out of your hand. And I was like, oh, sweet, I have three fives. I'm going to totally turn these in, and then I'll literally have, like, a zero and a one and a one. It's going to be awesome. And so I slide the cards over. I confidently flip them over. One of them's a six. Where did the six come from? So then I got to keep them all, and it took me for... I
never
recovered.
And you get a penalty card. Ugh. Yeah, so Will went up from five cards to six cards with that move.
And I think still at the end of that round, because of my zeros and ones, I didn't do too terrible. Like, in the third, when we went into the fourth round of the game, we were still really tight, so it could have been anybody's game. Katie definitely pulled it off. Way to go.
Yep. And then after those games, Katie and I played Matt in the final round.
The ringer.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, but we
might not want to spoil who they might have to watch our video.
Ooh,
that's true. We played with the Bullet deck, which
so
was
Katie
different.
And I were brand new at that one.
Yeah, yes. Totally different cards.
Totally different powers, totally different feel. I mean, well, it's the same mechanics, but since the powers were all different, I was trying to keep things really close and trying to keep things really secret. And then I was surprised to find out, like, you can't steal cards as easily with the Bullet deck, so I should have been flipping those cards up when I had the chance, but so it just plays, the feel of it's very different with the Bullet deck.
Yeah, as Melissa mentioned, we'll have a playthrough video of this on our channel, hopefully coming, it may even be live by the time this episode goes live, it probably will be, so check that out on YouTube. You can see us playing it, get a feel for the art and what the gameplay experience feels like. The coolest little components in the game, in addition to the cards, are that there is a silver bullet and a silver amulet, and those,
like,
have
metal
cool powers.
Pieces.
Yeah.
And they're actual metal, neat things to touch and feel. I like them.
If you shout out silver to end the round, and then you actually do have the lowest cards, not only do you get 0 points, you also get either the bullet or the amulet. Do you get both if you play combined decks, or is that a thing?
No, you'd have to pick one or the other. Yeah, you can't have all the charms in one.
Shucks.
Yeah.
But the amulet allows you to, like, protect one of your cards so that nobody else can touch it. What does the bullet do?
It lets you eliminate one of your cards at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So very cool way to reduce points at the end of the round.
Especially in that B deck when someone drops a gremlin on you and you you need that bullet to take care of him at the end.
You suddenly have a ton of points you didn't think you were going to have.
Which is what happened. I called Silver knowing that Matt would probably send the gremlin from his town over to mine, which
and
is
he
what
did,
happened.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is the gremlin just free choice or how do you just can...
The gremlin is you. As soon as you pick it up, you have to discard it on somebody else's, or it says a hand, somebody's hand. So it could be your own hand, but it's worth 12 points, so it's not not very fun.
Yeah, and Matt had a card. It was number 4 or whatever.
Yep, the Mortician number 4.
Lets him use the power of one of his face-up cards, which was the 12, so he got to move it to mine.
So tell us, Matt, when we can anticipate seeing this. What's the rollout plan? How do we get
pre-order should go up hopefully soon, but it'll be available at Gen Con. You'll have Amulet that'll be available. And then we will be rolling out Bullet a little later in the year. And then hopefully more to come. We are making some plans. We are alphabetically working down a certain path, and we will hopefully continue that way and continue to bring you guys some more amazing mechanics and amazing cards to put in and mix in.
So deck will be Silver Carnage.
That starts with an S. Silver Carnage. Oh, okay. I was like, Silver starts with an S, bro.
Well, do we spell Carnage with an S now?
Scarnage.
I like it. This could be a thing.
Okay, do you see it going all the way to Z?
Silver Zebra. That seems like there'd be a lot of decks of cards to have in your closet.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dominion's had a pretty good run with
one giant box to put everything in.
Yeah, Kevin and I might have a big case with all the Dominion expansions except the most recent one.
Yeah, I was going to say, so as long as people are still loving it and people are still into it, we will keep putting our all into it and creating really good games that will continue down the path with it. So
and become the new classics.
Yeah, exactly. Do what we say we do.
Now, did you say you have a new illustrator working on these? I really like the art style. It has kind of that, like, maybe like How to Train Your Dragon feel or something. Mm-hmm. Like, very cool illustration style.
This is somebody new for us, and he's taken a lot of the classic roles out of the one-night games, of the roles that you're used to seeing,
mm-hmm.
and he's really put a new twist on them. It really is a lot of fun to look at, and every time I pick up a card, I always find something else on the card that I didn't recognize the last time
I had
it.
There are a lot of Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a lot
really
of little
neat.
Hidden things in there.
Yeah, we were looking at the cards. The back of the card says Silver on it, and it has, like, this tree branchy... Is that the right word for it? Kind of thing. And then as like halfway through the game, I noticed like, oh, the cutout shape between the tree branches is kind of like a werewolf face. Mm. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw that on Batman. Do you remember that Batman logo where it's like looking up the building scope, but it's like the shape of a bat? Does everyone know what I'm talking about?
No,
shape
not even a clue.
What? We're going to Google this later. The Batman movie Returns? I don't remember which one it was. It was like if you were looking straight up at the sky... And the buildings
made the shape of Batman.
The sky was the shape of a bat. The buildings were like the dark outline.
Oh.
Come on, nobody?
Sure.
We'll have to
listen
to the
audience. Help me out here. It was a similar concept. I loved it, and I recognized it, and I thought it was great. Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us. I know we had a lot of fun playing it. We really did, genuinely. Like, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for bringing it. We had a great time with it. Check out that video because you'll see us laughing our heads off and having a really great time. And we'll definitely be looking forward to the official launch of these puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much, Matt, for joining us. Great time. Always good to see you. Catch you next time.
Bye! It was great having Matt Ryan with us from Bezier. It's always fun to hear the cool and exciting stuff that's coming down the line from them. And it's always nice having house guests in person.
Yeah. And I guess we have more coming. Even more publishers are going to come by the
rumors.
House.
Yeah, we're going to try to work out some details to bring some more folks in to hang out with us. Should be all kinds of fun.
Yeah, very exciting.
Let's jump into our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 6 games coming to Kickstarter the week of April 29th, 2019.
Prospector Kevin, start us off.
All right now. No, I'm kidding. I'll just do it normally. So on April 30th and May 1st, there is a game launching. It is Quartermaster. Yes. Think about this.
Just one?
It is. Quartermaster Apply Within. This company is based in, I think, Australia or New Zealand. Oh, no, I'm getting mixed up. Anyway, over there. So they're actually launching it on April 30th.
Oh, interesting.
But it's actually going to be May 1st. So, or May 1st. No, they're doing it May 1st, and it's April 3rd. Anyway, it's
2 days.
2 days, but it's the same day. Isn't that weird?
Is it a time travel game?
That is one of those weird anyway, things.
I guess it's going to be, it's got to be May 1st for them, because we're a day behind. Anyway, so they're always ahead of us. Anyway, this game is a game for 1 to 4 players. It is a worker placement pattern building game from a company called Slinky Gibbon Games. Once again, it's called Quartermaster Apply Within. And the sort of theme is it's a spy lab that just exploded. And there's these group of auditors coming in to basically check things out. You're what's called a quarter novice, and you're trying to build the best spy gadget to become the quartermaster. And how you build these spy gadgets are you get a blueprint at the beginning of the game, and you're pulling these cubes from the bag, different colored cubes, and those cubes are actually parts. And those parts are put into your gadget, hopefully in the right way, but the other players are messing with you. And trying to take the parts from
you. Can't just have friendly rivals.
That's right. And, Melissa.
Yeah, we played it. You don't know what the other person's pattern is, so you don't know
if you're,
like, how to best mess with them.
But there are parts that are better than others, and you know what those are, so other players will probably pick those away.
But I don't know, he's trying to make an L shape, so I should take this piece to mess up his thing, but...
But it was a pretty quick game, so if you're looking for a quick worker placement game, and it's a pretty small box game, check out Quarter Novice, or...
Be a quarter novice and check out...
Check out Quarter Master, Apply Within, from Slinky Gibbon Games, coming end of April, beginning of May. Melissa...
Well, on May 1st, we have Cleopatra and the Society of Architects, the deluxe edition. Kevin actually talked about this a few episodes ago.
Yeah, probably like 4 episodes
the
ago.
The Kickstarter was, they changed their date, so.
Here's what actually happened.
Okay, what actually happened, Kevin?
It was set for April 1st, and it was an April Fool's joke. No, I actually don't think it was supposed to be, but it turned out to be. And they basically had to reset all their timelines. So continue on, Melissa.
All right, so this is a game that the original version was published several years ago. It's Bruno Catala and Ludwig Montblanc. And this new version is going to have a freestanding 3D palace. The rule book has been updated by the designers. And some of the other changes in the gameplay is that they change the combination of resource cards that you discard to build the palace. And the rewards for building the pieces have been recalculated. There's corruption in the game and the consequences. They've tweaked those a little bit. Basically, if you are the most corrupt, you cannot win. So you're trying to balance how much corruption, because you can take corrupt pieces to build quicker and faster, but if you do too much of that, you're going to be penalized at the end.
As you should be.
Mm-hmm. And then a big thing is they've changed the player count. It used to be 3 to 5, and in this deluxe edition, it is 2 to 4.
Ooh.
So they've dropped it. And yeah, it looks like it's going to be really beautiful. The pictures they have looks like they're going to have really nice pieces. It is being billed as a deluxe edition, so you would expect that. But if you are interested in Cleopatra and the Society of Architects, Mojito Studios is bringing it to Kickstarter on May 1st. Katie.
All right, so I am going to be talking about Cristallo. Anyway, Cristallo. This is a single-player game. That's 20 to 30 minutes, and it is a card stacking, set collection, pattern making type game. The idea is that there is an evil dragon that uses crystal magic, which is where the crystal comes from. And you are trying to free the imprisoned mystical animals that he has, you know, trapped with his crystal magic. So you're going to be making these patterns, and as you're laying these cards down, it's got some interesting things where you can match all of the crystals with the same color. You can match them all with the same shape, or the same shape and color, or all different colors and all different shapes. It's really, it's like the older game Set. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's that same sort of thing where they all have to be, there's things that have to be the same or different, or all, like all one way or all the other kind of thing. And it's just, looks interesting. They also talked about how they are looking at the Kickstarter, possibly pulling in a multiple, like, a player version. Cool. So they're thinking about adding in a couple other players.
That's interesting, because normally games go the other way. This multiplayer game, and maybe we'll unlock the solo. And so this one, they have a solo game, and maybe they'll
get to multiplayer. Yeah. Solo. That's why they call it Crystal Low.
Crystal Low.
Or maybe the dragon's named Low, and he likes crystals.
I can't see anything about why it is actually Crystal Low. But, yes, maybe that is it. It's called the Black Dragon in the... information. But, anyway, so it looks interesting. I do get asked every once in a while about single player games, so there is one to look for. Crystallo. Ryan?
Coming April 30th from Van Ryder Games is Hostage Negotiator Career Expansion. This requires the previous entries in the Hostage Negotiator game series, and Hostage Negotiator, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is a game where, using cards and dice, you run through conversations between you, a hostage negotiator, and a hostage taker, and you find out the outcome based on your conversation points that you build up. This specific expansion is intended to be sort of the culmination of the series, and it adds on some narrative event cards that you will play through between the different hostage situations that you play. And you sort of go through and see how your career develops as you build personal stress and career stress. And then also you gain promotions as a hostage negotiator. So it just adds a new element onto the game. There is some really cool box art to this, which is like a really creepy clown.
I know. I was like, ooh, creepy.
The original box is like split down the middle, negotiator on one side, guy in a, what do you call it, balaclava? I'm messing that one up.
Like the ski mask
on the other side. So I was trying to see, is this like clown half hostage negotiator, half not? But no, it's just all clown.
And all creepy.
They've strayed from the original art, but this is better quality art than I would say than the original box cover. So I would expect the cards to be the same. Definitely check it out. Coming April 30th from Van Ryder Games. Will, do you got something?
I do. I got a pretty cool looking one. It's called Complexity. It's coming from Big Kids Games. It's got a pretty cool lineup of people working on it. Jay Cormier and Sin Fun Lim are the designers on it. And then Josh Capel and Quan Chai Moria and Yoma are the artists on it. And the box cover looks super cool if you haven't seen it. The gist of the game is that I don't know if we're on Earth or what planet, but it's about to be destroyed, and you are a scientist who is trying to build a new habitation on another planet so that people can survive this cataclysmic event. So it's primarily a tile placement game, but you're trying to build habitations for four very different sounding alien species, and it sounds like...
Doesn't sound like it's on Earth, then.
No, I guess not. the Terramorphs, the Neridians, the Celephalanes, I don't know what that is. And it sounds like the gameplay might be a little bit like Between Two Cities or something. It's a tile placement game, you're building cities, and at the end of each round you're going to compare your city sectors to the people around you and score based off of that. The game also lists voting as one of the mechanics in the game, so I'm not sure how that plays in necessarily. But in general, the components for the game look really cool. I love that Capel and some of those people like try to pull in unique pieces. So instead of just like cubes to represent your domiciles, that word in there.
Yeah, just throw it out.
I think that's what we're working with here.
I like that. You slaughtered cephalons. You're going to throw in domiciles.
Yeah,
that's good.
You got it. It's a redeeming twist there. There's like little bubble looking pieces that are really cool that are the shapes for certain people's houses. And then there's like red, weird, cool shapes and transparent yellow pieces and lots of cool tokens and boards and cards. And the art for it just in general looks really fun. I want to touch it and play with it. And hopefully I'll get to do that if I go to Proto ATL, because I think it's going to be there. So, Complexity. Check it out.
How complex would you say it is?
The tagline for the game is actually a simple game of complex city building. Mm. Something
well,
like
there
that.
You go.
I might have just ruined that too. But but I was close.
No, that's Kevin, it.
That was it? Oh,
but,
we made it.
But all right. Oh, I do want to talk about Kickstarter.
Okay.
We did have an hour-long live video this past little while ago now that when you're listening to this. And we had some really good interaction.
Yeah.
And I think even since then, we've heard some more things in the industry. And
so the topic of that discussion in general was, is Kickstarter a good thing for our industry or a bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we did a YouTube Live Facebook. We got a lot of great chats.
No, YouTube Live.
YouTube Live.
There's no Facebook involved.
Did I say Facebook?
Yeah. Yes.
Weird. And had a lot of great comments from people.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. And now back to Kevin, who was describing the rest of it.
Right, because we've actually heard some creators now, some publishers, wary of Kickstarter, and they wanted to put something on Kickstarter, but now they're actually sort of not sure if they should launch or when they should launch, because they do have stuff in the pipeline or they want to do stuff later in the year, so they don't want to launch now because they have a really cool game they want to do later. So there's a lot of, I think a lot of people are rethinking how many Kickstarters they're going to be launching, when they should launch.
And it's very possible that our listeners have no idea what we're talking about. All right,
Melissa, bring us in the loop.
So
just real quick.
Recently, a company had two of their campaigns suspended from Kickstarter.
And another company had their... So that's basically three suspended campaigns.
One of them was a completed...
Already funded and everything.
Already funded
yeah.
and over with.
Yeah.
Now, it was still within a few days, so Kickstarter hadn't released the pledge money to the company yet.
Uh-huh.
So, but...
But I mean, that was...
But they had already run credit cards and then refunded them.
Yeah.
Right.
So they lost money on all those transactions.
Kickstarter,
which is,
very bizarre.
Which is pretty big.
And basically, Kickstarter has kind of a form email letter that they send out saying, we do this and it could be one of these reasons. And they listed several reasons.
But they weren't very specific in which one or why or things like that. But in those reasons were running multiple campaigns, and another one was having starting a campaign without completing or actually fulfilling another campaign. So things like that.
So there are rules that have always been a part of the Kickstarter program but have never been enforced, because especially with these larger types of companies, like, they have a track record of success, and so it wasn't something that was an issue. It is really weird and peculiar that Kickstarter would kick in right now and say, wait, we have these rules.
Right.
Because for the most part, it hurts them.
Although people might be, there could be, I mean, Colossal has like 9 or 10 that they've been working on and they've only fulfilled 2 or 3, so it could be it's just there have been too many that they are starting to do, whereas Simon might have like 2 or 3 that they haven't done, but they only have...
Yeah. I think they're at 6 right now that they haven't fulfilled.
They haven't fulfilled.
Yeah, and a lot of that's just because the dates haven't come yet, not necessarily that the campaigns are behind or in danger. Just it takes
a long time to manufacture that many minis.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where some of these other companies are. It takes several months to produce these games.
Yep. So. Well, and I don't think it has anything to do with their promises or their failures. I think it, from Kickstarter's perspective, just comes down to their policies in general, which to me means that they need to update their policies. I don't think that these companies have done anything wrong. It's other than the simple fact that they rushed ahead of what Kickstarter has in place for their descriptions of how they work.
Or they assumed things were okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, as Kevin was saying, like how if this little hiccup in the system changes people's perspectives on what they're bringing to Kickstarter and if that'll slow down anything. I hope it doesn't. And that really didn't come into our conversation in the video, but like if this does cause a traffic jam and all of a sudden creators aren't bringing their games to Kickstarter, what does that mean? Does that mean that they find some alternate solution or that they're paying out of pocket for them, or do we see a slowdown in the number of games that are produced?
I mean,
this
the
year?
Other biggest crowdfunding platform out there is Indiegogo, but it's not really known for its tabletop presence. I mean, I know tabletop games get funded on there. It's just the number of people that are on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
their consumer base at least is huge comparatively. So
yeah, but we do have games that we were hoping to talk about tonight that are being pushed back because the creators are a little unsure of what's going on right now and don't want to be suspended.
Yep.
So they're waiting to see what Kickstarter's response is.
If Kickstarter ever responds.
Right,
if
that's the crazy thing. I mean, it seems really critical that they should and that that would help ease a lot of people's minds and tensions and things like that if they just gave a specific reason. Yep. But if they do play the silent card, whatever.
It's going to hurt Kickstarter. It's going to hurt creators. It's probably not going to hurt consumers.
Because
they'll buy something else. They'll buy published games or they'll buy whatever. So in my mind, it's not hurting the consumer. It's probably helping the consumer in some ways.
Yeah.
Giving them fewer things that they have to spend money on.
Yeah. And we say publishers, but with every game, there's a publisher, there's a designer, there's artists.
Sure. There's a team.
There's a lot of people who are affected if they cannot, if they're planning a certain business model and all of a sudden it's like the rug is yanked out from under them.
Yep.
They are real people who are now trying to figure out,
what should we do?
What do I do? Mm-hmm. A designer has maybe spent years on this game. And now, I guess we can't make it.
Yeah. In some cases, they may have even already contracted with manufacturers overseas. I know it's like a lot of times they'll request an initial payment so that they can start doing your press, color proofing and things like that. Before, and I'm sure some designers probably do that before they go to Kickstarter because they're confident that they'll fund or whatever.
Well, and then there's the preview copies and the marketing dollars, and if they're running ads on Facebook or BGG.
I've seen ads on BGG for certain games. I'm like, that game's not even on.
So there's a lot of initial cost that has been put into some of these things.
Whew. Heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully they work it out by the time this airs and everybody's happy.
That would be great. Hopefully ours will, all the transactions will be made and our Kickstarter will be going well. We just wrapped up our Kickstarter, as we mentioned, so we've got a bunch of stuff that we need to be working on.
764 backers, is that right, Melissa?
Are depending on us delivering awesomeness.
That's right.
764 backers. Thank you very much. That's amazing.
I just designed a main Board Gamer t-shirt today. How many more t-shirts do I need to design?
There's like,
do you know that?
30,
oh, we don't know yet, because we've got to get back.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's for the States. When you said Maine, I'm like, the important board gamer? What does that mean?
Yeah.
The state Maine. I think there was 35 people that got t-shirts.
Well, I think there's probably 50 once you do all the
add-ons.
We may have all 50 states by the time we get done.
Yeah,
what's interesting is when we first launched the sales of these shirts.
The board gamer ones?
Yeah, last summer. The very first state we did was Rhode Island, the smallest state that we have.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
And some of the large states I still have never printed. We've never had anyone order them. It's been a lot of smaller states.
Come on, Texas people. We've never made Texas.
I thought it. I thought there was an inexplicable amount of people from Nebraska.
Yes,
like there's not that many people
I've
in Nebraska.
But there's been a lot of Nebraska shirts.
They're proud board gamers.
That's right. Mm.
I want to see some of these rectangle states.
Yeah, Wyoming. Sure.
Yeah, Colorado, New Colorado. I'll let Ryan do Colorado.
Are you just gonna use the same like rectangle for each one?
My geography is not so great, so if you get or Montana, it might.
Just put like
Montana's
Nebraska.
Not square, Will.
There you go.
A little tiny word at the very bottom of the state. This goes.
This says board gamer.
No, this says the name of the state.
Oh, Nebraska.
Or, yeah, Colorado.
There it is.
Oh boy. So yeah, quest cards, right? Everyone's working
almost
on their
done
quests.
With those.
Right.
You got a week, no pressure.
We're still figuring out some of the nuts and bolts. Trying to
get
things
get it done
to work
soon
correctly.
So we can get that. Well, I guess we just need to get pages up so that we can print the
QR
codes
generated. Yep, yeah.
That's pretty much the main thing.
The starting point. Yeah, we'll get it all together real soon and get it out to you guys. I think we've had some good discussions about TantrumCon recently, too, and we'll have all kinds of new info on that soon, but we don't want to... We're just going to leave it there for the moment.
That's right.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. We've covered all kinds of ground, and we've got more cool stuff to talk about next week, so be sure you tune in for that. I think we've got a cool announcement that we need to make very soon. But until then, you guys have a great time. Play some board games, and we'll catch you later.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.